He then got the certain jobs. He was conducting this the Volkstheater, and so on, and finally landed a job as chorus director in the Volksopera.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, very fond of Eric, as I said, and whenever he had an opportunity, he did something of Eric's music. And even in this country, in the beginning, later when he became director of the opera company, his commitments and his position didn't allow him anymore, I think, to go out for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything, you know, cost so much money, and he was responsible for this every cent and penny that, so he couldn't dare to go into experiments.
Right.
And new music always is.
Yes. Well, last time we pointed out that the scherzo and fugue, were actually two movements from the first string quartet, and we talked about how it came about that Eric scored them for small orchestra and they were published. Another movement from this first quartet. Another movement from this first quartet was the Variations on a Slavonic Theme, and I thought we might talk about this for a couple of reasons. Did he ever tell you where this theme had come from, or is it a folk theme?
Yeah, that was a chorus that he had done, you know, and it was a very beautiful Slavonic folk songs, and he had at one time done several choruses like this. He was always writing for chorus.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of his favorite expressions.
Mm-hmm. And the other interesting thing, certainly to me, about this piece is that looking at the manuscript, one sees a very lovely copy, and I understand you copied it.
Yeah, but it is very friendly of you to say that it was lovely, because it was awful, I think, and I have no talent for it, but there was no other way. And in the beginning, Eric being so used to copyists, and that one doesn't bother, because in Vienna nobody does it differently. You compose that and you do it in your handwriting, and don't even try to be careful about your handwriting, and then you give it to a copyist. And there were a number of very great musicians who made a living by being copyists at that time. And so this was the way it was done, and Eric thought copying was a terrible waste of time, which it is.
Yes,
in
most
a way. You know,
composers would agree.
Because, but here in this country it was impossible to afford a copyist for us, so he began copying. But in the beginning he wouldn't hear of it, and yet one needed copies, so in desperation I began to do it. I had begun this in Paris when he was working for this Spaniard, which I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some kind of a factory going, you know, Eric was composing these little things for him, and then I and Willie copied it, and the man was a millionaire, and he paid very handsomely, and we lived beautiful in Paris, and instead of starving to death, which was really what we could have done,
certainly,
because we came over and we couldn't take a penny of money with us out of Germany. Paris became a kind of a vacation to us because of this. And at the end of the year, we were able to rent a villa in Vésiné, where Eric then began to compose Job.
I see. It's amazing. In the period 1933 to 1934, Eric was occupied with the composition of a major work and a work that turned out to be of considerable importance to him, the Requiem Concertante. Now, this work won the Austrian State Prize in 1934. Can you talk a little bit about what that entailed?
Yes, I think I do not quite remember now whether the immediate start of it was the death of my father, because my father died rather suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
He suddenly discovered that he had cancer, and he was operated, and it was found it was too late, and very soon afterwards he died. And it was a terrible blow for me. I was terribly, terribly loved my father dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this great sadness that involved me was felt by Eric, and I think that started him. And then.